Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
Well, it's Father's Day, but there will be something in this for all of us. So I will speak to fathers predominantly, but really to us as believers, those of us who are parents, mother or father, those of you who will one day be a mother or father, you can maybe take some notes and let the Lord remind you of some things this morning. I'm sure you've heard in Luke 15 the parable of the lost sheep, the lost coin, the lost son, or what we call the prodigal son. I want to read a few verses here from the passage that would have to do with the prodigal son. It reads like this from the English Standard Version. It says, and Jesus is telling these parables, and says that he said it this way. There was a man who had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of my property that is coming to me. He wants his inheritance. And so the father, he divided his property between the two sons. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey. This is the one who wanted his inheritance now. And travels, goes to a faraway land, and there he squandered. Say squandered. Say it again, squandered. And he squandered his property in reckless living. In other words, he spent everything that he inherited. He treated it recklessly. And it was gone. And I want you just to kind of recall this passage. It's not really the main text, but I want to take this understanding of an inheritance that he received. Okay? All of you, all of us, have received an inheritance. Now, some of you right away are thinking of money. Inheritance is more than money or things. Okay? It's more than that. Okay? But I want you to remember this whole inheritance with an underlining connection to squandering, okay? In Psalm 127, I'm going to turn there. 127, it says this, unless the Lord builds the house, the builder labors in vain. In other words, it doesn't matter what you do or what I do or how great we can make it look. Unless the Lord is present, that building means nothing. I've been in what we would call churches because we look at buildings and call them the church. We know the people are the church. But I've been in some pretty elaborate church buildings. Large church buildings, elaborate church buildings. I remember being on staff at a church as a youth and college pastor. And the sanctuary was, maybe I've told you before, it was shaped. And on the outside of the building, it reflected, it was shaped in a crown. Woo! Pretty fancy. Yeah. Had the nice glass panels on the balcony. The sanctuary was a circle. It was round. The seating stopped kind of on the sides, so you weren't looking from the back because we had a choir all dressed in fancy robes. The sanctuary, it was purplish. The ushers had an usher's closet and all, and when they were on, they went in and got their suit jacket that was white. And they were ushers. platform. I think it had about 6 steps to get up to the top. Fancy leather chairs we sat in. I've been in some elaborate buildings. I've been in some very humble buildings. And I'll tell you what makes it great is when the presence of the Lord comes in. Don't let our eyes be fooled by the exterior. It should be nice. We should take care of it. It's part of our worship to the Lord. But what matters is that He builds the house, that His presence is there. And we as fathers, we feel the call to provide, do what we can. I want you to remember, don't take your eye off the ball. What matters is that the Lord builds your house and your household and your home, and that He's present. It's not all the fancy, shiny things. And those are fun, and it's nice, and it can make a dad feel good when he provides a nice toy or clothing or extensive amounts of makeup and outfits and expensive weddings. I'm feeling the whole burden come and rest upon me right now, although it's all in my past. What matters is, somebody said something funny. I missed it. What was it? I don't want to miss it. Somebody say something? Come on, don't be shy now. What's that?
You said it was in your past. I said, bless the Lord.
Bless the Lord. You got that right. I love my granddaughter. You guys are paying for her wedding. When she's 38, by the way. Yeah. What matters is the Lord builds a house. Don't take your eye off the ball. You remember what's most important. It'll matter to your kids. They might be frustrated now that they can't have the latest, I don't know, video game or whatever it is. Don't let that ruin you. Take your eye off the ball. Okay? Unless the Lord watches over a city, the watchmen stay awake in vain. It's in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for He gives to His beloved rest, gives you peace. Instead of toiling and going over and going over and going over, and you get anxious. This is all about the Lord building a home, a house, watching over a house, watching over a city. It's about His presence, trust in Him that He provides. Oh, we're supposed to work. We're supposed to do our part. Otherwise, we look like an infidel to the faith. But He's the one that provides. He's the one that helps. Now listen to this, verse 3. Behold, children are a heritage or an inheritance from the Lord. Say inheritance. Inheritance. Say squander. Behold, children are an inheritance from the Lord, the fruit of the womb, a reward. See, this isn't just about the natural way that God things made it for a man and a woman to have a child. There's a whole spiritual dimension to this. There's a whole sacred peace, okay? It's not just by the will of a man or a woman. There's this divine gift, this blessing to you. Now, I know there's days that you wonder about that whole blessing part, raising children. 4 children in 4.5 years. All Sue, she just sat around and did nothing. I took care of everything. You know that's not true. I say it in jest. We went without. But I never felt we went without his presence in our home. I will tell you that. And it's not so much like our righteousness. It was just his goodness. And looking at our children as a blessing, as an inheritance, as a reward, even on the days where my oldest would have her emotional outbursts, I remember it was shortly after we moved to the previous church we were at and pastored. We were sitting together, having a meal together. She was, I don't remember what it was about or whatever, and she just got to a point where she's like, I just want to turn my plate over. And I said, oh, you mean like this? And I turned her plate over. I beat her to it. Spaghetti and sauce everywhere. The family was like, what's going on? Oh, yeah, she wanted to pack her bag and run away from home. She's new to town. She didn't even, I mean, she could barely get to the church, and that was just across the parking lot. So I don't know what her plan was. I'm so grateful for the young woman you've become, Brittany. And I give all the credit to the Lord. Because you didn't have perfect parents, but we loved you. I still remember bringing you home from the hospital. Such a grateful dad. Later on that bed of mine, I laid my bait-casting fishing rod next to her. I thought that would be a great baby picture. I took that picture. Yeah. Take one of those baby cloths, you know, those little blankets, those little soft little, what are they called? It's a spit-up rag, probably. That's what, yeah, spit-up rag, okay. That's the fancy word for it in our house. I'd take on bed and I'd lay that here and I'd let her lay on me. I'd hold her. She'd come and she'd suck on my end of my nose. I know you're thinking it's gross. I'd just like, oh. Sue, you better get in here. She's hungry. That's really what was going on, but I just took it as a sign of affection. Sucking on the end of my beak. Just my little girl. Those great moments, great memories. Yeah, parenting's a sacred responsibility. You know, we got to raise them, we got to protect them, we got to provide for them. We got to teach them to know God. And encourage them and instruct them that they would begin to discover in God and realize their potential. Don't lose sight of those things. Sometimes it's hard not to keep our eye on the ball when the bills are rolling in and you got mouths to feed and you're standing on the factory floor and got a job that maybe you're not thrilled about. But your dad or your mom, you someday wonder, am I going to survive this? I'm here to tell you, yes, you will. You just stay faithful on those long days that the end of years go fast. Years go fast, the days were long sometimes. We had a lot of laughter in our house, I'm grateful. You know, they were fun, they were funny. I had fun with them. And Sue just helped make everything work. Yeah. We didn't do a lot of fancy vacationing. We weren't able to do that. This is not a sob story. This is probably where most of us live. But, boy, I sure made those moments feel like vacation. Getting on the floor and wrestling with them and playing with them and letting them do whatever and not whatever, but, you know, run around and make noise, and a lot of singing, a lot of music, a lot of noise in our house. It just, Lord somehow made it with his presence feel like there was this little 4 or 5 hour vacation after I'd get home in our home. Yet in the middle of that, just remembering, trying to remember what's important while we carry the other responsibilities. And not every moment was a blast or fun. You know, they got disciplined, a little hand on the bottom. They got older, a little, you better listen. I know it's not polite to point your finger, but there were times where I did it. Because the conversation I was having, there wasn't nothing polite about it. They needed it because I love them. And I'm grateful for my dad who, well, he didn't always do everything right. None of us do. But I'm grateful for the times he took his finger and poked it in my chest. Boy, I was scared. Didn't really want to mess with my dad back then. As you know, he's in a wheelchair now. So I can poke him in the chest now. I tell you, I'd get it back to him, boy. I'm pretty safe. If you're watching, Dad, happy Father's Day. I love you. Done a lot for me. So here's this inheritance. Our children are an inheritance. Our children are a reward. I want to challenge you to look at your kids that way, moms and dads. It says that, if I read on here, and I want to do that in Psalm 127, it says, after the children are a reward of the womb, an inheritance to us, it says, like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. You know, you've heard the term in Scripture, your quiver's full. In other words, you have children, your quiver's full. I have a lot of children. They're supposed to be like arrows in the hands of a warrior. So you're supposed to train our children to have purpose and to know the Lord and to know how to battle in the Spirit and how to deal with life and to come out victorious through Christ and how we choose to live and respond. We have to train and equip them to do these things. That's the picture of children, arrows in the hands of a warrior, you know, to prepare them and show them purpose. That they can realize their purpose in God, what His direction might be in their life. This whole inheritance, the actual word for inheritance here in the Hebrew, it talks about something that is valuable. Something that's valuable. You know, when we inherit something from our parents in the way of maybe money or items or whatever it is, you see that inheritance and then you're supposed to take care of it. It's something you inherit. It's not really something that you've earned. It's a gift. You inherit this and you take care of the inheritance. And the inheritance is supposed to grow and you're supposed to pass it on to the next generation. It's this perpetual thing. You see, part of my parenting to my children was that I loved and thought about my grandchildren before they ever arrived. It was the thinking and the loving of my coming grandchildren. This was even before my children got married and they would possibly have kids. Those are my grandbabies. Those are my grandkids. What do I want them to be like? How do I want them to think of me? How do I want them to experience me? And how much I want them to know the Lord. Many of you in this place, your grandparents, you love your grandkids. And you kind of deal with them a little differently than your own children because, you know, when you had enough, you send them home. When they're your kids, you're already home. Can't send you anywhere. Right? So it's a little different. But I would think about my grandkids. I didn't know what they'd look like. I mean, I thought they'd all be good looking and everything. And when I looked at the physical, because my children are beautiful. But, you know, it depends on who they married. You're a good-looking dude. You're a beautiful young lady. But I also know some other things around about you that make you wonderful. I know about their young faith and how sometimes it's already an example to others. But I thought about my grandkids. And so if I love them and want them to know the Lord and have good values and biblical morals and ethics and conduct in their life, it matters how I treat their parents. So if you see your grandkids maybe starting to get some tendencies that aren't great, it's their parents' fault, who you raised. Want that to settle in a little bit on you. Yeah. Raised my children in certain ways because I was already thinking about my grandkids. I was not flawless, but I tried to keep my eye on the ball the best I could. Lord had to help me. But yeah, you dads, want to love your grandkids? A lot of that has to do with how you parented their parents, our children. Now, we've all made some mistakes. It's not that you're depressed and say, man, I didn't do a very good job, and this is missing, and this is missing, and this is missing, and now it's too late. And hey, man, the Lord knows how to redeem time. He knows how to restore what the locust has eaten. He knows how. He's bigger than our mistakes. He can restore it. So don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. Start doing it right. Start doing it better. Because the parenting now, because they've moved out of our house, hallelujah, and they're starting to have their own families, hallelujah. And I don't have to pay for their cell phone bills anymore, hallelujah. All that other stuff. The parenting is different, but it's, I still parent. It's different. I don't want to put my nose where it doesn't belong, but I'm here for them. They'll talk, they'll share, they call. I am so grateful that my children, who grew up in a pastor's home and saw the ministry and was experienced with real life, that my children, they still like me. Either that or they're just really great deceivers and make me feel that way. I don't know, but I think it's genuine. I'm so grateful. It's just not that way for everybody. It's not that way for everybody who's in the ministry, who's supposed to have the perfect home. Keep your eye on the ball. It's about the presence of the Lord who builds the home and builds the family. Your children are an inheritance. Now, I want you to recall the parable in Luke, and I'm not trying to take something out of context here. It's not about the father. It's not about the father this morning in that parable. It's about the son who asked for their inheritance, and they got an inheritance, and they squandered it. Parents, if our children are an inheritance, Pay attention to your inheritance and don't squander it. Don't squander what you have. Don't squander your inheritance as children. And what you put in and how you care and how you raise and the values. And listen, it's not just the stuff that comes out of your mouth, because they're watching how you live that's different than what comes out of your mouth. They watch, they see, they catch that stuff. They catch it. It's like conduct DNA. We're going to make mistakes. Our kids are going to make mistakes. They're going to have their moments. You know? But we cannot squander our inheritance. What we give to and taking care of our inheritance, we want to continue to pass it on, that our grandkids are going to be better than their parents. And the great-grandchildren are going to be better than their parents and better than their great-grandpa. I don't want them to have to start over. I want them to build off of what has been passed on to them. An inheritance, something valuable. You know, we get a greater understanding of God as a father when we start parenting our children. I'll tell you, this is, I don't know, it's maybe God's grace, mercy, and get my attention. Maybe it's the same for you. I don't know. I don't interview everybody about it. But that whole grace that God gives to me is measured by the grace that I give to others. Now, that doesn't mean there isn't discipline, there isn't some training, all of those things. But I had to remember that. I got to treat my children like God treats me. Ooh, that has helped me lay some wrath to rest or inappropriate anger, and what my natural tendency might be puts it to rest, because I want the Lord to be gracious to me. Now, it doesn't mean sloppy and let things go, not at all. Part of being gracious to our children is instructing them even in the hard things. It shows a grace. Instead of letting them spoil and be bad fruit, or rather training and caring and disciplining and pruning and nurturing our inheritance. We get to understand God a lot better when we parent, because He is our Father. He is our Father. And I will tell you, as a believer, I cannot blame my parents for maybe what they did that was questionable. Not my mother, of course, she's here. I can't blame them. I've walked with the Lord long enough that I have to take responsibility for my choices, regardless of what's in my history that was questionable or I didn't agree with or that hurt me, or I didn't get my bicycle when I was in fifth grade, or I, you know, blame whatever. When you're a believer, I'm sorry, you're a believer long enough, walk with the Lord long enough, and He says that He's a father to us, that my eyes look to Him now as a father and as a parent. Not that my parents don't matter, or I don't consider them or what they taught me or take the good things and all of that, but you know what? I can't blame them. I need to take responsibility for my choices. And you know what? That was part of the raising that my parents gave me. You're going to have to take responsibility for this. That was part of training me. It wasn't pleasant at the time. I'm sure you have your own stories. But that was part of training me, raising me, providing protection for me. Yeah. God is now our example of a perfect parent. And you can't blame your mom and dad. Not if you're a believer in Christ and you believe in transformation and renewing your thinking and overcoming the past and being delivered and all of those things. Your mind might remember, but we're not supposed to live under the influence. We have been called to be like Him, and He's given us everything. The Scripture says He's given us everything in His divine power to live a life of godliness. And if I ain't doing it, it's not my parents' fault, and it's certainly not God's fault. Would you stand up, please? I want you to listen to this. This guy to stand up doesn't mean you don't listen now. Hold on. Ephesians 6, verse 4. Fathers, all you fathers, listen to this. You listen to this. Even as you're walking out the doors, listen to this. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. Don't exhaust them. I'm just disciplining. I'm just training them. Harping and harping and harping and only pointing out the negative and when they make mistakes. Well, that's what my dad did and I didn't turn out so bad. Really? Why don't you ask a few people around you how you turned out? Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline. Now, I want to pause here because I sometimes have a view about discipline. Right away, we think it's about punishment. Lord disciplines those He loves. No punishment at the time seems pleasant. I got to lay it down on my children. After all, it's my responsibility as a father to beat up my kids, provoke them, exhaust them. I'm sorry if that was done to you, but if you're a believer, you're not supposed to father like that. You see, part of the discipline, I'm not saying there isn't punishment and consequences. Certainly there is. But the discipline talks about disciple. So it has a lot to do with how to live. Not just pointing out what they didn't do or what displeased you or in your scales of, you know, what was a failure or you try to embarrass them because of their weakness or... Is that what Jesus did with His disciples? No, He walked around and discipled them like we are supposed to disciple and discipline our children. In other words, He showed them how to walk in this life, how to live, how to conduct yourself, how to treat people, how to make decisions. He modeled it all. He didn't just talk about it. He didn't just beat His disciples up. Oh, did He correct them sometimes? Did He instruct them? Did He discipline them in those terms? Absolutely, no question. But most of the time, He was leading by example. He wasn't going to squander those the Lord had given Him to disciple or as an inheritance. Because those 12, which turned out to be 11, those 11, and then of course later in Acts it became 12 again. It was an inheritance He was giving them. Why? Because that inheritance was supposed to be passed on. And on. And now, look, from those 11 or 12, the gospel has gone around the world. purpose. He lived it out. Dads, I'm sorry if your dad just yelled at you or pushed you or beat you or ignored you or just made you feel stupid. In the Lord, we're not supposed to become that which we hate. Some of us, all of us, we're going to have to put on some humility. We might owe some apologies. Walk humble. Teach your children that. It's interesting sometimes, the things our children hate, we see them begin to do. Wonder where they got that. Break the cycle. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the living out of how to live your life, know God, walk with God, how to keep your eye on the ball. Don't just teach them your giftings, because your giftings alone aren't cutting it. Unless the Lord builds the house, unless He anoints the gift, it's all in vain. Bring them up in the discipline, the lifestyle, the daily living, right? It's not just punishment. Discipline is not just punishing. It's not just grounding. It's not just making them feel bad so they can really understand what they did wrong. Is that how your Father in heaven treats you? You might think He does, but that's your flaw in thinking. That's not who He is. Does He punish? Does He discipline? Yeah, you bet. He says, use the rod so you don't spoil the child. You be careful with that rod, because God knows how to return the favor. Don't squander. Don't let us squander our inheritance. It says, discipline them and instruction. Give them, bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate of the city where decisions were made. This is how this works. Let me just tell you, this is how this works. You want great credibility at the gate, in the battles, and what people think of you? You know how they won at the gate? Is they would show up with their children. And the leaders who were making decisions between them and their enemy, they would see their children. And by those sitting in the seats of judgment, they would hear testimony and they would see and they would watch, and some of them knew their children. And if their children had good reputation, they generally won the conflict. Because they said, is this man a truthful man? Is this an honest man? Is this kind of a good man? We know he did this in the community, and we know he has wealth, or you know he's poor, or whatever. He would look at the children. It's why they show up at the gate. It's why their arrows in the quiver. It's how they win battles, is those who judged would look at the kids. And say, I know these kids. I know these kids in the community. I know them. I know these adult children. I know them. They have a good reputation. They are reputable. Their character is not in question. And all of that would speak of credibility to the Father. That's your inheritance. Your credibility, has a lot to do with who your children are. And do they know the Lord? Do they walk with the Lord? Is their faith just words, or are they like that when they live in the marketplace, in the community? And are they generous? Are they gracious? Are they just chasing money? Is everything through the eyes of possession? Or is there a quality about these kids? Well, they're not perfect. But man, when you show up and you raise these kind of kids, we can trust what you say, sir. Because you must have proven it in your home because of who your kids are. Showing up at the gates. Showing up in battle in this life. You showing up to God the judge in prayer and calling upon Him. What's his kids like? Ah, dare this be a righteous man? Yeah. See, that's the beauty of Psalm 127, our kids' inheritance, and then they end up being the credibility of who the dad, who the mom is. Don't squander your inheritance. Or would you rather not have your kids show up as a testimony of who you are? They're responsible for their own decisions, but it's not entirely their fault, maybe. What's it say in Proverbs 35? The fruit doesn't fall far from the tree. No, wait. There's no Proverbs 35. Fathers, there's great joy in it. And it takes sacrifice. And it's being selfless. And it's sometimes showing up at home. You've had a rough day, rough couple days. You come home and you wonder, who's going to put into me? All I've been doing is answering and solving problems and working hard, and it's not a complaint. It's part of who I am or why I was created. It's part of my worship to God to live and work like this. Who's going to put into me? And you show up at home and your wife is putting the kids first. You might feel a little unwanted or disrespected or taken advantage of, however your mind works. Sometimes that's what we put the Lord through when He's looking for us to praise Him and give Him thanks and offer to Him. And He shows up and we're just busy doing other stuff and taking care of this and doing that, and say, Lord, you'll understand. I'll catch up with you later. And we just go on and live our life and throw up a few prayers and put a couple bucks in the offering and show up at church and think we did him a big favor. Listen, sir, you keep showing up. You keep working. You keep your eye on the ball, because there's more to an inheritance for your kids than the physical stuff that you leave them in this world that they'll never be able to hang on to. Because it's all going to burn. Keep your eye on the eternal things, the valuable things in this life. How to glorify your Father. You see, this world who doesn't know Him, they kind of judge Him. Decide if they want to believe in Him or if He's real. And do you know how they judge Him? By looking at those who call themselves His children. It's like they bring them to the gate. Can God bring you to the gate as His child to speak of His credibility? See, there's always this thing about Him being our Father, what kind of Father we're supposed to be.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.